All right. All right, my words are entitled Our Intentions. This morning we'll be reading from Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 13. But this morning our opening hymn, 46. One of the phrases out of there, where'er we go, whate'er we pursue, our ways are open to thy view. Our motives read, our thoughts explored, our hearts revealed to thee, O Lord. Good words for us to think about as we continue on here. And picking up in Hebrews chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So when we arise each morning, are we setting out on a specific journey to glorify our Creator, the Creator of all of us and all of the universe? Are all of our intentions harnessed and centered around the Word of God? When we arise, are we setting goals so that at the end of the day, when we are laying our heads down and praying and reflecting on the things that we have done in this day, we can be sure that our service was pleasing unto our Heavenly Father? If not, what is it that we do each day that could distract our attention from being spiritually minded? We all like to place blame. We could blame other people. We could blame it on the world. We could blame it on television. There's a lot of things out there that can draw us away from the truth. Take a couple seconds and think on those things, on these subjects that might affect our good intentions and our service to God. Their jobs, our sports, could even be other family members. And it doesn't take long that we could make a long list of things that are distractions or even pleasing for us to do. And I think it's probably pretty easy for us to fit all these things into our daily schedules, into our lives. Now, as we think on these things that we do each day, and think about how hard that we are trying to fit them into our busy schedules, centered around the living Word of God, which we know that we are to study and to read every day of our lives. After our baptism, we are to grow in learning of these words and of our understanding of the fact that we are able, that they are able to judge our thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And all these things are naked and laid bare unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, which is also rendered with whom we must give account. We cannot hide from God, as He knows even our deepest secret thoughts. And no doubt my Bible says that thoughts and intents are two distinct activities, yet both are activities of our mind. And Unger says that thoughts are deliberations based upon our perceptions, and intents are the purposes, the deliberate exercise of the will with reference to the consequences of an act attempted or performed. Again, we all have and make excuses why we can't do things, but God sees the heart, and all of our intents are open unto His eyes. In Genesis 3, verses 6 through 10, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I have heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now we know that they had tried to hide themselves because their eyes were open to know the good and the evil. And at this point, they had realized their fateful mistake. In Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 27. Joshua chapter 10, starting at verse 12. "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled, and hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into the fenced cities, and all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, Open the mouth of the cave, and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. These five kings, you know, they thought they too were going to hide, and that they were going to get away with it, being in this cave. And then they are shut in. You know, and just imagine the thoughts as this cave would turn to total darkness. And we don't know how long that they were probably left in there, but I'm sure that they knew the intents of Joshua and those that were with him. And I wondered who told Joshua where the kings were hiding. And I bet the kings wondered how they were found. As we know, this was probably the work of the angels. In Joshua 11, verse 15, As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua's faith and his desire to do God's will was a testimony to those around him, as even we are this day and age, to be an example to all of those around us, whether it be at work or school or wherever we may be. Turn over to Psalms 51. To read verses 1 through 4. Psalms 51, 1 through 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Now this Psalm of David is very rich in meaning, and centered around his sensitivity of his own sinful nature. A man after God's own heart, although not perfect, he learned to fear God and realized sometimes in his life that the only person we sin against is God. Verse 4. He knew there was no hiding from God, and he knew after his sins that he needed to be blameless. And when we go ahead and we sin willfully, it's usually the simple fact that we aren't paying attention to our Bibles. It says that we do evil in his sight. God does not pass these things over like we might think, like we might do in our own minds, but these are all kept recorded for a day of judgment for each believer, whether good or bad. You know, thinking back when my children were pretty young, you know, and I'm sure this is the case for most parents, you know, when we're in the room, all our children usually act pretty good and pay attention to the rules. But when you leave the room, and I have done this before with mine, and you peek around the corner, you know, you can see them quietly misbehaving. Children not knowing that they're being watched. And then when you acknowledge yourself to them, let them know your presence is there watching them, you know, everybody tries to shuffle back to into a position of innocence. You know, nobody did nothing wrong. And then comes the blame game. We can't watch our children 24 hours a day, especially as they become older. But we should instill in them, in their minds, that God is watching them not only when they do things wrong, but also when they do things good. We all know that we are going to be rewarded for both. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verses 22 through 24. Jeremiah 23, 22 through 24. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Verse 24 gets right to the point. Can anyone hide themselves in secret places that he will not be seen by God? Adam couldn't hide. The kings couldn't hide. Jonah couldn't even hide from the Lord when he flees from his presence, as we know when he got on the ship and headed to Tarshish. And we know that he was caught in a mighty tempest in the sea, sent out by the Lord, which ultimately led to Jonah being cast forth into the sea to be swallowed up by the great fish. And if you were told by the Lord to go and preach in the world to what he was seeing at that time was basically a bunch of sinners, would we do it? Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. When God had called each and every one of us, he chose us because of certain characters that we possess. And he chose us because of our certain personalities that we reflect. He saw in us maybe something that we even now still don't see in ourselves, that maybe we will be enlightened in later life. Jonah never had any intentions on that day on doing what the Lord asked until the consequences were sinking into his mind, which probably wasn't too long after going down the fish's throat. Jonah had other things to do, which seemed more important than listening to God. His foolishness in thinking that he, or that we, even us, that we can hide anything from God, was turned into sacrifice and thanksgiving. Hebrews 12, verses 6 through 8. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And back in Jonah, Jonah chapter 2, I'm going to read this whole chapter here, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought upon up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So what is God seeing in us right now? What are our intentions that we have? You know, I pray, brothers and sisters, for myself and for everyone here, that we never let ourselves get to a point in our thinking that we can justify any of our doings that are not done unto the Lord. Whether it be going to Bible classes, coming to meeting, on down to our example in society, we are to think and to feel and to react and to act in harmony with the thoughts and commandments of God. 2 Corinthians 5. We'll read 16 through 18. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And then over in chapter 6, the last two verses, 17, 18. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And again, we are to reflect the nature of God, and our lives should be separate from the actions and the influence on or people that could mislead or guide us into the hands of wickedness. Matthew 7:13 reads, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." This we know is not a secret thing. All of us have sinned and will sin again. But the ones who are hiding out in secret places, not willing to be humble, will have their hearts openly embarrassed at the judgment seat of Christ. There is no secret under the sun that God does not know. I tell my children all of the time that they might be able to pull a fast one over me or their mother, and maybe every once in a while. And they do, or at least they think they do, because I inform them of God's omnipresence, that God is invisible. He is dwelling in heaven, but by His Spirit and His glorious presence is everywhere. Remember the other 6 days each week that God is there with us in spirit and in truth. Remember this when we're at our jobs or when we are at school, that we must worship Him and He will not forsake us if we do. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." So what are the thoughts and intents of us each here in this room today, and how about yesterday? What did we do yesterday that brought about glory to God? Or were we hiding out in the devices that man has brought upon himself to take us further away from God? We are in a very busy society, busy with all the things that we need to do. And the key word here is we. We need to do this and we need to do that. Brothers and sisters, these are excuses that we continually put in our way. And these could be the downfall at our judgment. Who's going to tell Christ, "I didn't read my Bible every day because I'm tired," or "I didn't have time"? Who is going to tell Jesus we didn't preach the gospel because society is cruel and there are sinners out there? They're unforgiving. Think on the excuses that we each might make to get out of our duty as a servant to the Most High. And I would be willing to guess that Jesus might ask of us, "Why were we a lover of evil rather than that of righteousness? And what do you do but hold your head down in shame?" And I know for myself that I am ashamed every day of my sins and of my thoughts and of my intents. And I hate the way that evil thoughts so easily beset my mind and my goals towards my service to the Lord. And I hate the way my intentions are usually for my own good, and that might bring hurt to someone else. God's love, God's greatness, His goodness must fill our hearts of all who know Him, as He is revealed in His blessed Word. And if we're not truly interested, we will fall by the wayside. Our thoughts direct our actions, and if we don't learn to control them, or if we are not held responsible in some form as a child to gain a form of a conscience that tells us the difference between what's right and what's wrong, this is why we start teaching our children these stories from the Bible at an early age, which are simple to us older ones, but they are full of the life-meaning examples for them that they need to form their characters, their personalities, shaped and centered around the Word of God. But if we don't learn to control our inner thoughts, which we think might be secret, 1 Corinthians 3:18-20 says the thoughts of the wise men are even in vain. I'm going to read those. 1 Corinthians 3:18-20. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Job 21:22. Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing He judges those that are high? Psalms 94:11. Psalms 94:11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And then finally, Psalms 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me, about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all thy members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely that will slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. And do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Our thoughts are not ever going to be perfect because we are powerless in controlling them. As we know, this is part of our nature. We have to constantly work on changing our fleshly thoughts by prayer and with Scripture. We have to be persistent and consistent with our efforts, growing in the fear and love of God. Trying to control our thoughts is not an easy thing to do, but it can be done. And the more we think and read about God's words, the less we will be likely to have bad thoughts and bad intentions, because our minds will be filled with messages of hope. Our minds will be filled with the truth. And knowing this can only cause great joy and much love towards our merciful Heavenly Father. He has offered all of us a chance of eternal life. He knows we will fail at some of our trials, so we don't have to hide because we see it does no good. God only expects us to repent, to change our ways that are not in accordance with His ways, so He can give us eternal life. So before we set out on our day's journey, each of us should really focus our purposes and our intentions. We're going to check our attitudes and our performances to see if we have set goals that are pleasing to God. And it's easy to get off track or of that straight way. So let us pray and let us all work together as an ecclesia to gain the goal, to grasp that prize, that hope which we all hold so dear in our thoughts. In closing, I will be reading from Psalms 119, verses 1 through 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Enter into our memorial portion of our service by standing and singing together hymn number 156. Deck thyself, my soul, with gladness. Put away thy robes of sadness. In His resurrection splendor, praise to God our Lord did render. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. A couple thoughts before we partake of these emblems this morning. Romans 5. I'm going to read this entire chapter, Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. But nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For it, through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing is more important to us than that of our time now before us, to cast aside all of our thoughts and all of the distractions of the world, and to focus all of our attention on a sacrifice that was made by our dear Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We know he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and all of these sacrifices that were made with these animals, they all pointed to the work to be done by Jesus, the shedding of innocent blood for the remission of sin. The sacrifices were reminders of how costly sin really is. And God wanted them, as well as us, to be repentant of our sin and turn to worship him. This, what we do this morning, is also a reminder to us of the great love that Jesus showed to his heavenly Father by the giving up of his body for the world's sin. And although we don't have to sacrifice animals, and we don't even have to lay our own lives down like Christ did, we can still set things apart to give to God. And the most important thing is that of our bodies. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Are we living our lives according and acceptable unto God? And are we fighting against the weaknesses of our flesh? Romans 13:14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If we are full of the Word of God and we do these things that we read in, that we read of Jesus' teachings, there will hardly ever be room in our thoughts for any kind of our lust to take over. And as we know, we cannot do this perfectly like Jesus did. And our Heavenly Father knows this. And this is the reason for the innocent blood shed on the tree by this man, so that we can be forgiven when we do fail. We have all failed this week at being a perfect, righteous follower of God. And everyone we know needs time to reflect on our sinful nature. And if we didn't, would we even need to come to meeting if we could go one day without sinning? And we know this will never happen. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So Christ laid his life down for his friends. And if we are his friends, we will follow his commandments, including this one here today. We will live our lives the way that we are instructed to, as he has left for us to do, and just as he did for his Father until death. So before we take the emblem this morning, I would like to read our instructions in 1 Corinthians 11. Starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We will stand and have prayer for the bread. Brother Mac, could you offer that? We will stand and have a prayer for the wine. Brother Bill, could you offer that? We will close our service by standing and singing together hymn number 230. Father, we, thy children, bless thee for thy love on us bestowed. As our Father, we address thee, called to be the sons of God. We call upon Brother Jason to close your prayer.